I can see my baby tonight. So rock me. All right, rock me, baby. Let's see. It's about 36 minutes after the hour. It is also Tuesday, so that is the day we get to spend with Alan Burice, our buddy from Surviving Defend. Alan, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, Daryl. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm like all Americans, horrified by the horrible, horrible terror attack against little girls in Manchester. I mean, you up on what happened in Manchester, England last night, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it is terrible. Something that should be a fun event for so many young folks to be turned into a tragedy with so many injured and 19, 20 killed.
22 dead, 59 to 60 injured, still trying to sort it out. What kind of animal sets off a bomb like that, a nail, nuts and bolts, in a group of little, when I say little girls, 8, 10, 12, 14, at a concert by a young pop star on their way. It's hard to.
It's sickening. It is. Yeah. It is. It's, you know, there are monsters out there that have no feelings or thoughts or anything about anyone else.
And once again, we hear from our leaders, the one woman there in Britain, the terrorists are not going to win. Well, then we need to get a bit more interested in killing them. I hate to be so graphic this morning, but if the terrorists aren't going to win this, we need to get a little busier at annihilating the terrorist, I think.
And I have to agree, because you don't change people like that.
No.
If you have the mindset that you're going to go blow up a bunch of kids at a concert.
Little girls.
Yeah, you don't change people like that. We need to just exterminate them. You call the herd. We don't need people like that living on the face of the planet.
President Trump in Saudi Arabia this week spoke to the leaders of 50 Muslim nations. And for the first time, I heard someone bring it home for them when he said, you don't, America can't do this. You have got to get these people out of your mosques. You've got to get them out of your culture. You've got to get them out of your country. And you've got to deal with it. Don't look to America to fix this. This is coming from a religion that many of you revere, that many of you are peaceful within that religion, but this is where this is coming from, and you've got to fix it. And I think that was refreshing to hear a president tell 50 Muslim nation leaders that.
And unfortunately, I don't know if they will. Hopefully, something will happen. But you're right. I mean, it can't be any one country at all, because this is a global thing, and it needs to come together, and everyone needs to step up and say, we've had enough of this.
Right. Now, I get a weekly email from you that gives me tips on survival is mostly situational awareness, how to make sure that you are aware of your surroundings. When you look at a situation like the Manchester bombing, of all the places that wouldn't, all the folks that wouldn't be aware of their surroundings, just coming all pumped up from this probably a great concert, nobody's thinking bomb, you know, but as soon as the bomb goes off, that's when the techniques and tips that I received from you, we should begin to get that programmed into us, how to automatically react to when it all goes to heck in a handbasket.
And that is, I mean, part of it is being situationally aware, like you mentioned, but also just having a general plan of what you're going to do in an emergency, and understanding how stress and fear affect our bodies, and things that we can do to minimize that and still be able to function and get to safety.
Right. The videos I saw inside the auditorium, the bomb was set off outside in a foyer area, and you heard a big bang, but the absolute pandemonium that broke out inside, where there was no smoke, no flash, no injuries, you can get killed in that kind of stampede. And a lot of them were stampeding towards where the bomb had been set off.
And that's because many people will go toward the entrance that they came in.
Right.
and not realize that there are other ways out of a place. And that's why I'm always preaching no exits. And I know that you do the same,
right,
of knowing where the exits are of any place you're at so you can go someplace safe and avoid where all the people are going, which could be in that situation. They were going the wrong direction, but they didn't know any better.
Right. They and it never dawned on them because they didn't know. They probably didn't see or had not already calculated another exit sign. And when you think about a 10-year-old little girl, 12-year-old little girl, I wish that they never had to think about that. That as a man, as a grown man, I wish we lived in a world as an adult where kids could go to a pop concert like this and not have to be scoping out the exit. But the parents that were there, they carry a little bit more responsibility, and that's what you can do. If you send your children to these things, the law of averages are in your favor. This is not going to happen at the concert you go to. Your chances are almost zero. But it might happen at somebody's concert, as it did last night.
Correct. And you need to learn how to, you know, like I was talking about in this week's newsletter, you know, vanquish your fear and panic. And that's by having a plan, understanding that there are things you can do, breathing like I teach in my courses. Those kind of things can minimize the panic that sets in and keeps you from thinking. So you can then use your senses. And another thing I talked about this last week, to, you know, stop, look, what's going on, assess what you need to do, and then get it done.
If I've been in a couple of dicey situations in my life, and when you have a plan, when you've thought about what would be your exit strategy, what needs to be done, even though things have gone to heck around you, it's almost like you can become not unaware but shielded from them because you have a plan. Your panic and fear drops down to a minimal level because you begin to function with a preordained, a preset plan of what you're going to do, and it helps you get through what would be a very fearful and panicked time. You're hiding within your plan. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have a safe place, to use a terrible word, you have a safe place inside your plan.
It does, because fear and panic often are because of the unknown.
Right.
And if your plan gives you something to do, it takes that unknown away. And if you've practiced or rehearsed the plan, so much the better. Because often in that extreme stress of an emergency, we will go back to things that we have rehearsed and trained in. And that's why law enforcement and special operators, military, they train so much, because in the height of a combat situation, they just go to that training and it's there.
Yeah.
And they're just going on rote, you know, training, right, hardly even having to think about it if you've trained enough.
Well, that's what they do when I joined the Army, basic training, that's what basic training. There's physical conditioning, of course, but there's also that getting you into the mode where you have a plan. You're part of a mission. You're in submission to other folks, but you're part of a mission, and you are taught to act instinctively, to react a certain way, and it gives you relief from what could be a unbelievable nightmare happening around you. It gives you a place to go to where you can function as a human being, and your thought processes are opened back up to where you can get back on the plan.
Exactly. And there is the thing called stress inoculation, where the more stressful your training or actual prior stressful experiences, that enables you to react better in a current stressful situation.
Well, you get to understand how you react. And you know, you won't catch yourself off guard, if that makes sense. You have a pretty good idea of how you're going to handle that stressful situation if you've been put in stressful situations as training or just because you're in situations that would create tremendous amounts of stress. It's a confidence builder, I guess.
It does. And it's not being paranoid. It's just more prepared. And right. The ways to get there are training, visualization, and actual experiences. And all of those will help you when you're in an actual situation. And sometimes it doesn't have to be that much. Just a little can make a big difference in life or death emergencies.
Right. When in this particular case, now we know so little about the Manchester bombing other than the heinous act of what will turn out to be, most people understand, an Islamic extremist of some kind. You know, he was someone that probably would have looked out of place, probably carrying something that would have looked out of place. Now, he could have been dressed as a janitor with a mop bucket. I don't know, and no one knows just yet. But these would be things that you would look for, people, and you tell us all the time, look for what doesn't fit in this picture. What's wrong with this picture, like the old the kids' magazine used to have. Remember they had What's Wrong With This Picture, and you'd find the things that didn't fit? That's what we need to do, is what's wrong with this picture.
And that's why having a general baseline, when you're paying attention to the world, you get that general baseline of what's normal. And what's normal is going to be different in different areas, like different areas of town have different normals. Different activities have different normals. You'll be able to see what the normal people are doing at a concert, and somebody that's up to no good is going to be following a different path, and they will stand out to people that are paying attention.
You mentioned in this week's email, which I think is a really great thing, stop, look, listen, and here's a cue, smell and feel. Sometimes the smell could be, not that you can smell a bad guy, but you might be able to smell the beginnings of electrical fires. And if you're in a crowded hall and you smell what seems to be either an electrical fire or the smell of smoke, that's the time to get up and quietly get ahead and get to in the area. You don't have to run out, but you can at least move closer to an exit until that situation either doesn't erupt into a flame or it goes away.
Or you smell gas or anything. I mean, we want to use all of our senses,
right,
including intuition. If something feels not right, pay attention to those feelings.
Well, in the great grand scheme of things in your life, there's been a couple times that I did not follow intuition, and I ended up in a place that I wasn't hurt or anything, but things went down that could have been threatening to me. And I said, I've got a good seat. I'm not going to sit here. Or, I'm just going to stay here. I don't feel necessarily comfortable, but that's just me. And no, we need to react more, I think, to our gut.
We do. I mean, law enforcement all the time hear the statement, well, I knew something was a little off or something seemed strange, but people ignore it and then something bad happens.
All right, Alan, how do they get a copy of the same email that I get every week?
Go to surviveanddefend.com. There's a sidebar. Put your email in there. You'll get some immediate free downloads, and you'll be on the email list.
All right. Alan, look forward to talking. Well, I won't be. I'm taking a few days off vacation, so I won't be here next Tuesday. We'll pick up a week from Tuesday. I'm trying to just give everybody a heads up so they don't think I've been taken away by aliens.
All right. Well, that sounds good. I hope you have a great vacation.
All right. Thanks. All right. I'll be right back. This is Daryl Day, Talk Radio.